Thank you. Good morning. It's great to see you guys again. For those of you that don't know me, I am Luke Larm from North Phoenix. You guys may have had my father the other day, which is unfortunate to me because he is an incredible speaker of the word. So don't expect as much as you may have had from him. Welcome today to the church service. For those of you online, the same thing, welcome. We're going to be preaching today on God's timing is right on time. And I'm going to read Psalms 40, verses 1 through 11, and then I will pray for us as we begin. Psalms 40, verses 1 through 11. And it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. Nothing can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, that would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you do not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for allowing us to come together and to share your word and to be encouraged and brought up and taught. God, may the words that come out of my mouth today be words that edify you, Lord, as we begin this. God, help us to be a church that trusts your timing, that believes in what you say and knows your promises will come true. We love you. We praise you. Be with us as we go through your word. Help us to live it out and to have it penetrate our hearts today. God, we love and praise you. Your precious holy name we pray. Amen. As I said before, you guys had my father the other day, and he's part of my testimony for those of you that don't know me too well. We grew up in West Africa, my sister and I, and so a lot of our kind of perspective of things has come from are overseas. And the reason I bring that up is because today's title of the sermon today is God's Timing is Right on Time. And if you are living in America right now, which we all are, you realize that time is a serious issue that we deal with. What it is we expect everything really quick, right? That's why bigger than restaurants, and I remember when restaurants were a really big thing, fast food restaurants have taken over. If you go out, you can get a burger made in less than a minute and a half. I don't know how. If you have made a burger yourself, it takes a little bit more time than that. Somehow we're able to get that. When we want our taxes, the places that are out there are things like TurboTax. Why? Because turbo sounds real fast. Somebody had mentioned it the other day, a pastor, which I thought was really hilarious. Our cars go to 120 miles an hour. And he said, why? He's not 100% sure why, but it's faster. And as we kind of go on with that, and the reason I talk about growing up overseas is you'll say, all right, let's meet at 10 a.m., and someone will show up at 2, 3 p.m. And you're like, what is going on? But time is different for a lot of different people. In America, we have a really hard time of slowing down. COVID was absolutely tough to deal with. One of the things that did come from COVID is how much we slowed down. I remember looking at my family. I've got four nephews who are just awesome. They're 9, 8, 7, 6, so they're a mess, but they're fun. And we were just out on a Friday afternoon walking around in a park. And I thought, when was the last time that we got to just sit back and walk around on a park on a Friday afternoon? when there's normally the hustle and bustle of life would continue on. My wife is from the Dominican Republic, and I like bringing her up because she likes the attention. I'm kidding. She does not. But we were hanging out with her family in Florida, and they're from the Dominican Republic, and their time is also not a big thing. So they would wake me up in the morning, and they said, all right, we're heading out at 9 a.m. I'm like, all right, 9 a.m., so I'm ready. The first day I'm ready, I've got everything done. We left at about 12:30 that day. It was getting around the time to leave, and they're like, so-and-so's not here, so we got to wait for them. That took about an hour and a half, and they're like, well, I'm hungry now, so then we're eating. And all these things are happening, and the first day I'm there, I'm feeling a little impatient. You know, I'm sitting there going, well, you said 9. We could have accomplished so much. We were heading to the beach from 9 to this. Well, now all of a sudden the beach is at 12:30. So then everything just continues to get pushed back. By day 2 and 3, I was so relaxed. Nothing really bothered me, and it was a lot of fun. And it was weird to kind of explain because they said we're leaving at 10. I wasn't ready. I didn't plan on getting ready. I wasn't going to because I knew we weren't going anytime soon. And not only that, I would get ready. We were leaving at 10. I'd get ready by like 10:45, and then I'd just sit down and start reading my Bible. And they're like, what are you doing? We're getting ready to go. And I was like, I know better. I didn't tell them. I said, okay, let's go. And I would pick my Bible up, and I'd walk over to the door, and they're like, you know what? We got to wait for someone. So then I'd go sit back down, and I'd start reading. And it was so relaxing. And to me, as I do this, when we're talking about God's timing, what comes across your mind when we talk about God's timing? Because each of us have a very different outlook of what that is. Maybe it's too quick. It's very rare, but maybe God's timing's too quick. Maybe it's too slow. Maybe God's time isn't on your time, so it doesn't really make sense to you. You're like, well, God, if this time was to be perfect and right, it would be when I want it. And we get a lot of the time. Sometimes it's hard for us to say that, but we say that. And as I pick the Psalms and I think of the life of David and everyone that goes through here, I think about how God's timing works. And time became something really interesting, especially during the COVID season, because we thought about a lot about it. We had a lot of it all of a sudden. Something that we hadn't had for a long time showed up. I think of stories as we go through time of Abraham. Abraham was really, really, really old when God called him and told him, hey, I'm going to move you out of a place that you're very comfortable with, and I'm going to make a great nation out of you. And he's thinking probably to himself, and I know, of course, he follows God through this, but he's probably thinking, wow, God, you waited a really long time. Because as it goes on, you know, I even with me personally, when I help somebody move their house at 18 years old compared to where I am at 33, and I know that's not crazy different, but my back all of a sudden feels a little sore than it did the time before. And sometimes God uses us at that right time as we go in there. The first thing that I have for us today is that God's timing is patient. And I am so glad that it is patient. Because I think the reason it has to be patient is for you and me. As I kind of explained it, and this is a good analogy, probably kind of a little over the top, but imagine taking a baby and going, you know what, this baby needs to swim. And you throw the baby in the water, and then you walk back to the house because they better swim. It's time to swim. You were born, there's water, swim. And to us, that's crazy. When we think about that, we're like, there's no way you can do that. There's a process you have to go through. They have to get to a certain level in their life. They have to have swim lessons. They need time around that area. All these things start going in. But when it comes to God's timing, we always expect it to just happen right then. You know, God, you want to move us somewhere. Do it now. But he's preparing us, and that's a patience that he is having in his time that is so incredible, and I think it's used for all of us. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. As you notice, we think he's slow, but he's not slow in keeping his promise. As some understand slowness, instead he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. I love another verse out of Exodus 14:14. It says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. And that's hard, especially when you think about the idea of a battle. The idea of being slow in that is a scary situation. Now, I meet some people who are like, all right, cool. So what God is saying is just sit down, don't do a single thing, don't read your Bible, don't pray, don't do any of that, and just sit there and eventually something will happen. And that is not what we're looking at in this area. He is readying us in a patient way. Just as the way I kind of explained it, especially, is when it comes to teenagers. And a lot of you have dealt with teenagers, and you realize they're not very bright. They think they are. They think they are, but they are not very bright. I taught for a very long time in high school, and they would say some of the things, probably some of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life, as if they were fact. And I would sit there, and I'm like, okay, I guess that we could say it that way, but what about, you know, this? And you're trying to help them along the way. And I feel so bad thinking about my dad having to deal with me after some of that, because I remember some of the things I said. But there was a patience being built so that God could build us into the person, man or woman of God, that he is working in us with that time. And he is patient, and I'm so thankful he is. When I think of patience, I think of my wife dealing with me, especially going from, you know, being a single guy of 6 years to all of a sudden having my wife there. And then, you know, one day I'm like, all right, I'm going to go play softball. And she'll be like, where you at? I'm like, whoops, you know, got to make sure that she knows. But she's patient in those things, knowing that I'm growing through that. When I think of patience in the Bible, I think of Peter a lot of the times when I think of this. When Jesus looks at Peter, he says, hey, you're gonna be the rock on which I build this church. A couple sentences later, a couple verses later, he says, hey, Satan, get behind me. So you're seeing Peter is growing, and he's trying to understand what's going on. They don't for sure know that it was Peter, but they're pretty sure it was Peter cut the guy's ear off in the garden. Now, if you guys are like I am, when there's a group of 10, you know, boys or girls who show up and they're like, hey, so somebody just cut someone's ear off, I'd be like, that's Peter. Peter's the one that would do that. And when you look at the disciples, you're pretty sure it's Peter as you go on there. And there's this guy that God's getting ready to build his church out of is cutting a guy's ear off when Jesus is saying, let me go be taken. There is something about to happen. He's like, nope, I got this. This revolt is going on right now. And Peter flees. But Peter grows through this as he goes because God was patient with Peter. I think of Jonah. Man, God had to have some patience with Jonah. Because if I was God in that situation, I wouldn't have used Jonah. I'm not using this guy. This guy literally got up and God says, listen, I need you to go to Nineveh. And he says, Nineveh's this way. That's where I'm heading. And he got on a boat and he went as far an opposite direction as he could possibly go. And God still chose to use him. Anyways, I think of Moses. Moses decides he's going to take everything into his own hands. He's like, you know what? I see my Hebrew brethren having some issues. Let me kill someone, and I could start this out. And that wasn't what God had planned. There's this amazing patience that God has with his timing that's just incredible. And we may not understand it, but there's a really, really good reason. He may or may not have worked in your life at this moment in time. The second thing I have for us today is that God's timing is personal. It's set to each one of us. Proverbs 16:9, it says, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Man, I love that verse. In Ecclesiastes 8:6, it says, for there is a proper time and procedure for every matter, though a person may be weighed down by misery. I added that one in there as well because sometimes this personal timing that God has, it's hurtful. I know personally, and I bring it up a lot because especially being newlywed, I can't talk about my wife enough. I waited 6 years, what I would like to say patiently, it definitely wasn't, hoping that someone would show up, that some spark would happen. And many and many a times, I thought God was wrong in that timing. I really did. There was times along the way I'm like, God, listen, like, your timing's perfect, but it could be more perfect if I was married now, you know? And we could work that out as it goes. Well, come to find out, my wife 6 years ago had not accepted Jesus as her personal Savior. I could have been with somebody else, but God had something that he was preparing for me. It was a very personal thing. When I think of personal in the Bible, I think about the centurion leader who comes to Jesus and is like, hey, can you heal for me? And God's like, yeah, sure. We could definitely, Jesus says, yeah, sure. We could definitely take care of that. And he says, I know you're a man under authority. You do not even have to go. Raise my son, my servant for this for me. And as I'm seeing that, I'm seeing that there's this personal relationship that's happening, this personal timing that's going on. And he says at that very moment, healing had happened. The same thing happens with Lazarus when we see Lazarus. And Lazarus is one of those interesting stories that kind of messes with me as Jesus is working through this one. Jesus knew that he could get to Lazarus before he died, but chose to wait until he died because it was a personal thing going on. He knew that this generation or that generation at that time could see healing and could be like, wow, that is okay. That's pretty amazing. I've seen that before. That's pretty good. Medicine can do that. I have a person down the road that can do that. But no one had ever raised someone from the dead. And when he had Lazarus going through there, you realize that Lazarus' whole personal timing with God was to just show that area right there, that there was a healing power from Jesus that was just insane. Another one we have is the woman at the well. And I think about this with the timing, because this woman at the well had many of husbands. There was a lot. In fact, when Jesus talked to him, he's like, you're right, and you're also living with another one. He had known everything there. And I bet this woman, her whole goal was to have that perfect relationship when it all began. But what God was using through her, and Jesus, as he's speaking to her, allowed her to go back to the area she was at, and he used her in a personal way. So as I go on, I had God's timing is patient for the first one. Second, God's timing is personal. And third, God's timing is proactive. In Philippians 2:13, it says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away the ways of childhood behind me. When I think of proactive, it has its meaning. It has its purpose. We're kind of growing a little bit. As an athlete works towards a goal, God is working in our lives to grow us to be ready for this timing. I think of Joseph as he's going on there. Joseph probably didn't have this idea where he would just go off into slavery, and then he would end up being with Potiphar's around Potiphar's wife, and she all of a sudden accuses him of something, and then all of a sudden he's in jail and he's dealing with time in prison. Then all of a sudden Pharaoh grabs him out of there and makes him second in command of the entire nation. He did not know. But each one of those steps, God was working through that timing. Joseph, as he's going in front of his mother and father and his brothers, and he's like, hey, I had a dream, and you're all going to worship me. I don't think he had the idea that he was going to slavery very soon after that. I think for a lot of us, when we hear God calling, or we feel something all of a sudden tugging on our heart, we assume that there's just going to be this perfect situation there. I remember I told someone the other day when they talked about it, sometimes ministries don't end well. And that's one of the things that kind of confuses people as it goes. They talked about a young missionary about 4 or 5 years ago decided to go to an area where it was basically forbidden by the people to tell the gospel. And they said almost immediately when he walked into that area, they killed him. And there's this idea that that life is a wasted life. That's what their idea was. That was their thought. But because of this missionary, all of a sudden, hundreds more wanted to go. They knew where this place was. People around the world began to pray for this area. Money was going into this area to help out in that cause, all because one missionary knew that they had to be proactive as they went across there. On my fourth point, I've got that God's timing is powerful. And man, is it powerful. Jeremiah 32:19-20 says, great are your purposes and mighty are your deeds. Your eyes are open to the ways of all mankind. You reward each person according to their conduct and as their deeds deserve. You perform signs and wonders in Egypt and have continued them to this day in Israel and among all mankind, and have gained the renown that is still yours. Galatians 4:4 says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. There's two different things I'm kind of looking at when I look at the powerfulness of God. I think of the Israelites at that time as one of those really powerful situations. The Israelites got to see things that we could only dream of. They got to see the Red Sea parted on both sides, and I bet that was amazing to be able to see as you're looking left and right, probably even fishes going through there, and you're like, wow, this is an incredible situation. They saw the waters coming in, crashed on their enemies at this time as it goes on. And as they continue in the desert, they're being led by a cloud and a pillar of fire. They're seeing these amazing things happen. They're seeing a promised land that is looking to be given to them, but not yet. And that's part of God's timing as we go. And as it continues on and we see the Israelites and we see the power that happens through there, we see power upon power upon power of the timing of God as it goes in. But none more powerful than when he sent his son. I sometimes think of this, and maybe that is stupid of me to think of it in that way, but I think of why he chose that exact time there. But the thing we know about it, he knew exactly what time saving was going to be necessary. He knew when it was to send his son. We see this powerful timing show up again and again, and I know if I asked you guys individually, you would know that there's times when this timing is powerful. The story that I have from my own life is when we were living out in West Africa, in Benin, West Africa, my dad happened to look out into the distance, and he saw a village that he had never seen before. And he said, well, I don't think I've ever seen that village, and no one's talked about it. What is that village? Well, in Africa at that time, if you had leprosy, they would send you to a community to die. They take all your stuff, they send you to a community to die, and then as soon as you pass away, they put everything together and they burn it all because they don't want it to pass on in any way. So my dad came across this leper colony. So he went out there and he met the people that were there, and he preached the word of God to them. And many of people got saved that day. But as he was there, they were explaining that there was a guy who could not move from his bed. He was unable to move because he was so sick. And so my dad went out to see the man in his area that he was living and shared Jesus with him, and he got saved. Well, my dad went away, and he comes back every week was his way of doing it. And he left and he came back, and he noticed that the guy wasn't there, that he couldn't find him. And he asked them, he said, where's the guy that couldn't move from last week? And as some of us may have guessed in this story, he had passed away that week, that very week of it happening. It's crazy how powerful God's timing is. Had he not put it in the eyes of my dad to see that village, there would be one person missing that would have been heading to heaven. And that's why it's so amazing to be able to see the powerfulness of God's timing. The last one, and honestly, if I could have made just one point for this sermon, it would have been this one. And a lot of times this is the title of people's sermons when it comes to timing. But on 5, it says God's timing is perfect. It is perfect. There's no need to question the things of it in that sense. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Psalms 18:30 says, as for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. His shields all who take refuge in him. And when I think of God's perfect timing, and there's different things that I could go through, but I talked about it a second ago, but it goes even deeper. We think of Jesus' life and how perfect that was. How perfect the timing was that he came. How perfect the things that he went through to share the things that he had for us. We think about the timing of Jesus' death and resurrection. How for 3 days he was dead and he rose again. And then we think of Jesus' second coming. It's perfect. When is it? I can't tell you. I wish I could, you know, but that would make it my timing and not God's timing. And that's definitely something that I would go through on that one. When I think of God's timing in your lives and my lives, I think for a second back on the question that I asked you at the beginning. What comes across your mind when you think about God's timing? One of the things I thought about was people, the timing with people. When we see Abraham show up, when we see Moses, when David walks up and we see Goliath is sitting there mocking the Israelites, and David goes, I'll take him. You know, God's in charge of this, but I'm coming to get him on that one. They thought he was crazy as they go on. Sometimes we think of a situation of that. I think about the young boy who decided to show up with 5 loaves and 2 fishes to hear Jesus speak. Little did he know that Jesus was getting ready to turn this into a feast. He was going to take those 5 loaves and 2 fishes and he was going to fill up every belly that stuck around there at that time. Some other things that may come across your mind when it comes to timing may be thinking about, where is God using you in that timing? I had written down 5 things, and I think we could each kind of write down things in our lives that we need to be doing to prepare for this. As you guys know, this is the 3rd time we've gotten to speak here, me and my wife. We love your church. It is absolutely beautiful. The people in here are absolutely beautiful, and we love being a part of this. And there was a time where we didn't know if God possibly would like us to come to the Cornville area to be able to just share life with you guys, to share Jesus in that sense. But we prayed constantly on what was going on, and life seemed like it was going this way. And then all of a sudden I pick up my phone, and I have a close friend of mine, or my sister, so friend through a sister, who says, hey, we have a job opportunity for you right here, and it's going to make it. Because once I got married, I realized, ooh, teaching is a little tougher than I thought to make sure that I take care of me and my wife. So I was praying a lot with everything, and I was like, God, what do you have for us in this situation? And God brought this job about. So about a week and a half ago, I think it may have only been about 6 days total that I've worked, I have a new job. And it's a little scary, I won't lie. But it's one of those things that's amazing, because we know God sets things into timing and a purpose. There's a reason that he's putting me in this position here. Well, then I get a call from our pastor the other day, and there's actually a church in Paradise Valley that's in need of someone to hang out, to shepherd, to love on the people. They're going to put up screens and be a part of everything that's going on. And of course, with COVID, we got no idea on what timing that is. But my wife and I had prayed about it, and we had felt God calling us that way. Things that I realize when it comes to God's timing, it doesn't always turn out exactly the way we want. It'd be great if it did. I know personally, and I shared with some of you before, when I was in West Africa, we were serving the Lord out there in West Africa, my mom passed away in the middle of the night at a 7-year-old boy. That wasn't my timing for what things are. But we know that God's timing is right on time. God had a purpose for that area, and I can still remember to this day, as we follow her hearse down to the airport, that the people of that area lined up for miles. I can't tell you how long they lined up in touch to how much she had touched each one of their lives. And I realized that, you know what? Sometimes we've got to move away from the idea of our timing and allow that to be God's timing in it. I'm sure when we talked about Peter, I'm sure that's not exactly what Peter had wanted for his life. I'm sure when he's realizing, Jesus is like, hey, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. And he's like, no way. No way. I'm there. No way. He's denying him. I'm sure that's not what he was planning when it came to his timing. When we think of Moses, I don't think Moses planned on being out in the wilderness for a long, long time before God was able to use him to deliver the people. We think about the woman at the well. There's no way that in her timing she thought, I'd have multiple husbands and be living with another one. But God had his right timing as we went through that. We think of Joseph. I'm sure Joseph didn't want to be dealing as a slave or be in prison for a long time and forgotten. But God's timing was right on time. I think of my dad as he looked down that village that had leprosy all plagued through it, and think, you know what? That village probably didn't like exactly what was going on, but God was right on time to deliver to that man getting ready to pass away the good news of Jesus Christ. I don't know where you're at right now in your life today. I don't know where you're feeling the timing is at. I don't know if you're feeling the struggle of God's timing or if you're in the middle of something that God is using through his timing. But I want to encourage you that God's timing is perfect. It is right on time. It's patient. It's personal. It is proactive. It's powerful. It's perfect. He's in control. And if we give him control, when that timing comes, you're going to be able to serve God in the way that he has planned for you. If you guys would bow your heads with me, I'd love to close us in prayer. God, we as a church just want to give our timing up to you, God. We know that your plan is for a reason. We know that even before we were born, you knew us, even in our mother's womb, God. We want to pray that as we go out today, God, that we prepare for what you have for our lives, that we can trust the timing that's coming, God. That if we're looking for relationships, if we're looking for jobs, if we're looking for anything that may be lost in our lives, God, that you would allow us to be reassured in your word that your timing is perfect. It may not look exactly like what we want, God, but we don't want it to look like what we want. We want it to look like what you want for our lives, God. Be with us as we walk out today. Help us to live out what you have for us throughout the week, God, and help us to continue to pray and read your word. We love you, God. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.